Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
A fourth firefighter has died protecting Colorado from wildfires this summer. The latest, a helicopter pilot who went down in the reservoir where he was filling up to go attack the Gold Mountain fire near Ouray. Our Mark Salinger has the latest.
It's been a tough couple of weeks in Colorado. For the second time in less than a month, firefighters lined roads on the western slope to pay their respects.
Any firefighter death is tragic. It impacts all firefighters.
A helicopter battling the Gold Mountain fire outside of Ouray crashed into the Silver Jack Reservoir on Sunday evening. The 56-year-old Canadian pilot, Nicholas Dale, was killed. He's the fourth firefighter in 4 weeks to die battling Colorado's wildfires.
The extreme amount of danger that these folks are in, you know, they're risking their lives.
John Bales is a retired fire chief and runs the Colorado Fallen Firefighters Foundation. The danger firefighters face has become far too real.
So this is the part where we tell you that there's some technical difficulties happening. Beyond that, we've seen a significant amount of deaths from firefighters here in Colorado over the years, dating back to the 1994 Storm King incident, where 14 firefighters died in the Glenwood Springs era. In that area as well, the helicopter that crashed is a Cayman K-Max in this most recent incident. It's a company that's owned, the helicopter is owned by a company in Georgia and contracted all around the country, designed to be a heavy lifter. The helicopter had been in Colorado fighting the Gold Mountain fire since July 4th and made at least 8 flights over the fire in that time, Kyle.
We'll get things straightened out and we'll let folks see your story later on in this broadcast. But as is so often the case, right, these wildland firefighters who are protecting Coloradans' lives and properties are not from here, right? They travel all over the West, and firefighters from Colorado travel out of state to go work in Oregon or California or elsewhere.
And you saw those three federal firefighters that were in from all over the country. They were based here in Rifle. Those are the first three that died. A quick note on this helicopter. Mm-hmm. It's a very rare type of helicopter. Only 5 companies operate it or all around the country, and this was one of them. Heavy lifting, very maneuverable, can do a lot of good work for the fire. In this case, though, a tragic crash.
Yeah. All right, Mark Salinger, thank you. So our hot, dry streak is going to continue this week, which is not going to help firefighters with their current fires, and it could contribute to new starts. 2 new fires sparked yesterday. Governor's already declared a disaster emergency for the Green Ridge Fire burning near Steamboat Springs. It's relatively small, only about 44 acres so far, nearly a third contained. The concern with that one is that there are nearly 500 structures within 3 miles of the fire. There is a second fire burning in Route County right now. The Fishhook Fire near Rabbit Ears Pass is the larger of the two. It's burned about 95 acres with no containment yet. And an update for you on the Willow Fire burning near Leadville. That's burned more than 6,200 acres, nearly 10 square miles since it started 2 weeks ago. While fire activity did pick up over the weekend, firefighters are lifting some pre-evacuation orders near Twin Lakes and hope to scale back the evacuations north of Turquoise Lake while they continue to make progress. Thank you for the incredible generosity that you've shown our neighbors in southern Colorado who lost their homes in the Aspen Acres fire. Between one-time donations and monthly donors to the Word of Thanks Fund, you have raised more than $180,000 for the Southern Colorado Wildfire Relief Fund. Your Word of Thanks microgiving campaigns have now topped $19 million raised. Not too late to donate. If you'd like, you can scan the QR code on your screen or text the word THANKS to 303-871-1491. The United Way of Southern Colorado is operating that fund without taking any fees or overhead expenses. If you know of a nonprofit effort to support Coloradans impacted by wildfires or efforts to make our state better prepared and more resilient in the face of the wildfire threat, let me know about it. You can nominate an organization of any type for our microgiving campaigns by going to wordofthanks.org. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi is along now. And Chris, hottest day that we've seen this year. And for folks thinking, well, it'll be nice to throw the windows open tonight.
Yeah, not exactly. And that's part of the concern, Kyle, is when we have these really hot days, we tend to focus on this, understandably, right? 97 degrees, that was our high temperature today. But you notice this heat advisor here for the I-25 corridor. This goes till 9 p.m. tonight. Those lows are going to have a very tough time getting down into the 60s and 70s like what we're used to here in Colorado. So not one of those classic Colorado evenings that you can leave those windows open. Some good news to pass along, though. We are seeing some showers and storms. That'll be around the Ferris and the Gold Mountain fires in particular. We'll probably get some beneficial moisture later this week around some of the other fires, including the Aspen Acres and Willow fires, with some monsoon moisture that continues to lift north. It will not reach Denver tomorrow, 94 for us here in town, and overall a hot and dry forecast, but we start to see some signs of the monsoon reaching us early next week as we gradually increase that moisture first in the mountains later this week, and then this weekend and early next week will slowly cool down with temperatures down in the low 90s next Monday.
Colorado's Democrats are convinced that Victor Marks winning the GOP nomination for governor will hurt other Republicans. We've learned that Marks is quietly reaching out to figure out which Republicans are willing to be seen with him on the campaign trail.
I'm excited about uniting.
Victor Marks is quietly asking for signed pledges of support from other Republican candidates in Colorado after Marks' rivals in the primary for governor said he was a con man and a fraud, and they couldn't support him in November.
One of the things you have to do is to unite the party, and I did. Both of them against me.
Nine News has obtained a so-called Republican General Election Unity Compact being circulated by the Marks team. It's going out to Republican candidates for federal, state, and local office. It asks GOP candidates to indicate if they support Marks and whether they're willing to say so publicly. It says, quote, "We ask participating campaigns to avoid unnecessary public attacks on fellow nominees," with a checkbox on whether candidates agree to Marks' terms. And it asks whether fellow Republicans are willing to strengthen the broader ticket through a series of steps. First on the list, public support for Victor Marks.
My prayers are for the Republican Party because it's still very dysfunctional and split, but it's coming together.
We asked the Marks team why it felt the need to solicit signed loyalty pledges.
Only in unity can there be solutions, right? Yeah.
Marks' advisor, Buddy Jericho, said, quote, "This is a voluntary coordination framework, not a loyalty pledge. It asks candidates both where they may want to work together and what support they need from our campaign."
Recently elected Colorado Republican Party Chair Craig Steiner told me today the party was not involved in soliciting these signed pledges to support Victor Marks. But Steiner said that he views, quote, "a willingness to cooperate as a good thing." A second ICE detention facility will be operating in Colorado in a former private prison northeast of Denver. The GEO Group, which runs the Immigrant Detention Center in Aurora, announced an agreement today to expand their operations to the Hudson Correctional Facility. When that place opens, it'll be able to hold just shy of 1,200 detainees at a time. The former prison is on privately owned land, so there is little that Democrats at the state level can do to prevent it from opening as a federal holding facility for immigrants. Earlier this year, Democrats in the state legislature passed a bill attempting to expand state oversight over ICE detention centers. It allows for one unannounced state inspection every 90 days and prevents minors from being housed with unrelated adults. But the GEO Group is already suing over that, claims the law is unconstitutional. One of the bill's sponsors, Democratic State Rep. Lorena Garcia, isn't optimistic that the restrictions will have much of an impact.
Even with these regulations, I believe that what we have seen from Homeland Security and the operations of the federal government, they will do everything they can to skirt the law. They could delay entrance by saying, no, we don't need to let you in. And then it goes to the courts. And then the court has to, like, then a judge has to come in down and say, yes, you do have to let them in. And then 2 days, 3 days later, they clean up their act and everyone walks in and everything looks like a pretty picture. I totally understand that. And I think we all know what that delay tactic is.
Paperwork shows that the feds could be paying GEO Group up to $530 million over 5 years for the facility. Neither ICE nor GEO would tell us when it will begin operating. A local water system is failing, and there is no local government to fix it. The state considers whether to declare a small town abandoned.
You know, don't be afraid and stay curious. You know, don't be afraid of things.
And there is only one Coloradan who could wind up being honored for both his artwork and his time as an astronaut. Ed Dwight casts his own legacy. Next. Nearly 1,000 firefighters and support personnel are working to fight the Gold Mountain Fire in southwest Colorado near Ouray, where a helicopter pilot doing water drops was killed in a crash yesterday. Our Mark Salinger has the details.
It's been a tough couple of weeks in Colorado. For the second time in less than a month, firefighters lined roads on the western slope to pay their respects.
Any firefighter death is tragic. It impacts all firefighters.
A helicopter battling the Gold Mountain Fire outside of Ouray crashed into the Silver Jack Reservoir on Sunday evening. The 56-year-old Canadian pilot, Nicholas Dale, was killed. He's the fourth firefighter in 4 weeks to die battling Colorado's wildfires.
The extreme amount of danger that these folks are in, you know, they're risking their lives.
John Bales is a retired fire chief and runs the Colorado Fallen Firefighters Foundation. The danger firefighters face has become far too real recently. In June, three federal wildland firefighters were killed and two others were badly injured while battling the Snyder Fire in Mesa County.
Nick, Emily, and Sydney were the very best of us, and they always will be.
The four firefighters killed battling the wildfires already mark one of Colorado's deadliest years in a long time. Back in 2021, a pilot was killed battling a wildfire near Estes Park when his plane crashed while fighting the fire at night. Crashes in 2008 and 2002 also killed pilots fighting fires. In 2002, five wildland firefighters coming to Colorado to fight the Hayman Fire were killed when their van crashed near Parachute. And 14 hotshot firefighters were killed in 1994 in the infamous Storm King incident near Glenwood Springs that led to safety reforms.
These are our brothers and sisters in the fire service, and whether you're still active or you're retired, it impacts you.
That was Mark Salinger reporting. So what makes a town a town? That is what the Secretary of State's office has to determine this month, because the small town of Hartman in Prowers County could be declared abandoned. Its entire local government up and quit. Hartman's a town of less than 100 people near the Kansas border. The Board of Trustees all resigned last year after a physical altercation at a meeting. One trustee writing, quote, "I fear for my health and safety." So there are no town officials left to call for an election to replace the entire local government. The water system that was owned by the town is on the verge of collapse. The water's no longer being treated, and people in Hartman have been under a boil water advisory for months.
It's obvious a public health threat to the community. Moreover, I think there was also a concern that the town had paid the water bill, like that also needed to be addressed, because the water was eventually going to get turned off if some entity did not pay for additional power to run the pumps.
So typically, towns have to be without a local government for 5 years to be declared abandoned. State legislators relaxed that requirement this year with Hartman in mind. If the town's dissolved, then Prowers County would come in, take over, find a new water provider. Some residents spoke against the dissolution of the town today. They said they just want the state to help the town set up the new government and help obtain federal funding for their water system. This week, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commissioners will consider a new rule that would ban the commercial sale of fur and put new limits on hunters and trappers. The proposal comes from an out-of-state animal rights group, the Center for Biological Diversity. They petitioned CPW directly after ballot measures banning fur sales and trophy hunting failed in Denver and statewide. They want the state to ban the sale of fur from 17 fur-bearing animals like beavers, bobcats, coyotes. They also want hunters to be restricted from killing more than 15 of each species per year. CPW staff and its director opposed the restrictions, calling them arbitrary, not backed by science. But the Board of Commissioners, appointed by the governor, chose to move forward anyway at a contentious meeting earlier this year. Where history meets art, that is where you will find Colorado's Ed Dwight.
He is a living historical figure, and his artwork focuses on preserving African-American history.
A museum's tribute to the astronaut with an artist's touch. Next. A trailblazer is sharing the story of his life through a new exhibit at History Colorado. Ed Dwight has had several remarkable careers with a legacy that continues to inspire generations. Our Byron Reed caught up with him recently.
Turns out that I was a class artist.
Inspiration comes from creativity.
I was born to do art.
For 92-year-old artist Ed Dwight, his imagination started early.
Went to preschool when I was two and I started drawing.
But his path would take a surprising turn from artist to engineer to pilot.
So I started studying flying on the side. And when I saw that, I went and I applied. They were letting black folks fly, so I applied for pilot training on a Lark. And they sent me to Denver here to test.
Dwight became a successful Air Force pilot. His achievements eventually caught the attention of President John F. Kennedy, who selected him as the nation's first black astronaut candidate in the early 1960s.
I got a letter in the mail saying, you know, President invites you to an opportunity to go to test pilot school because you had to be a test pilot.
Although he never made it into space during that era, he refused to let that chapter define him. Instead, he reinvented himself once again, returning to his passion for art.
But the biggest story is how I got to be this artist in the first place, because I hadn't planned on being, when I left the military and left the space program.
Some of his art will be displayed in a new exhibit at History Colorado called Ed Dwight, Casting a Legacy, that brings together more than a dozen works and explores the experiences that helped shape him.
He is a living historical figure, and his artwork focuses on preserving African American histories.
Dr. Gwendolyn Lockman is the senior exhibition director and a historian for the center, where they're putting the final touches on the exhibit opening on Friday.
We're not only able to share the story of a really significant American and Coloradan, but also to introduce a conversation about black history in the West, black history in the country broadly.
Lockman believes visitors will get a chance to experience more than sculptures.
He's just such an inspiration of what it is to dream and to aspire to do great things, but also what it is to always be learning and to pivot, to reinvent yourself.
For Dwight, the motivation didn't happen by chance. It grew from the willingness to imagine, even when life took him to a place he never planned to go.
The thing I concern is inspiration, you know, that, don't be afraid and stay curious.
For next.
That's what holds people back.
I'm Byron Reed.
Ed Dwight, Casting a Legacy, opens July 17th at History Colorado Center, runs through the end of February. Back with your feedback after this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The most Colorado thing we saw today is the sign of a town standing behind its firefighters. Passed through Florence yesterday and saw the historic Rialto Theater in town is using its marquee to thank the fire crews working on the Aspen Acres fire and to provide running updates on the containment percentage. Aspen Acres is one of the 10 largest fires in state history. It's burned more than 98,000 acres. If you see something that just feels like Colorado to you, email to next@ninenews.com. Yeah, spent the weekend in South Central Colorado, saw many, many signs, from church signs to handmade front yard signs to that theater sign thanking the firefighters for the work that they have done on that fire. This feedback via text: I hope that Hudson area residents and all Coloradans rise up against this Hudson GEO Detention Center. This is the immigration detention facility that we talked about today. A GEO group that runs the one in Aurora is going to open that one in Hudson. That's the thing. I don't know what people rising up against it would be able to accomplish, because from town leaders to Democrats at the state level, folks have poured through the books and they said they can't find a way to stop a federal facility.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@ninenews.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.